This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Facts only here on the Adam Gold Show. How you doing? I am Adam Gold. V to the Victoria is here. Welcome to your Friday. I said that to you too, Victoria.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. I'm in my feels hearing that fight song again.
Oh, I know you are. I know. Do I dare say that those are flashbacks?
Oh, yes. All the flashbacks. Yep. Uh-huh. I'm getting the hands going and everything. So.
I have been there. It's a great place. I'm very excited for them. They get a chance to host College Game Day. You know, there aren't that many. Normally, they go to Power 5 schools. They spend, you know, they go to the Horseshoe. They go to the Big House. They go to, you know, they go on the plane. They go to the mostly SEC, Big Ten, Notre Dame. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Right? So it's cool when
they don't.
It's cool when they don't,
yeah.
But it's cool when the opportunity presents itself to kind of go to not off beaten places, because frankly, App is a destination football, you know, environment. But I think last year they went to North Dakota State or something like that.
Yeah.
So they have been to places like that. So awesome. Awesome for App to get a chance to experience that.
Perfect weather for it.
Do we have a weather report?
Ooh, I can find
one. Give me a weather report for Boone tomorrow. 3:30 is the game.
Right. Oh, it's going to be perfect.
Yeah. But what's the weather going to be like at 9 o'clock? Or 9 o'clock, everybody assembles. I think game day starts at 10.
Yeah.
But they used to do a pre-game day. They used to do an hour show, like on ESPN asterisk.
Right.
Whatever.
Yes.
That started an hour earlier. So I'm not sure they still do that, but I know game day starts at 10. So give me a 10 o'clock a.m. weather report for Boone.
It is saying the high is going to be 70. So it's going to be perfect. But
I want to go.
Yeah, it's going to be like 60s, maybe mid to high 60s. And then, yeah. So it's going to be and it's sunny. Like, no chance of rain, which means nothing if you're on the mountain, because it can happen in a flash.
Right.
But right now, looks good.
And you're 9 a.m., Rusty tells me 58 degrees.
There you go.
In Boone.
Layers. Layers are the key.
Get a sweater. Bring a light jacket.
Yes.
I love when the TV weather people tell you what to wear.
Uh-huh.
Like, don't tell me what to wear.
No.
I'm probably not going to listen to you.
Maybe I like to be cold.
I don't need a light jacket. Thank you very much. A hoodie. Bring a hoodie.
Yes.
That's awesome. Absolutely tremendous for that. And I'm jealous. First of all, anywhere that it's going to be 58 degrees,
yeah,
is a nice place.
So you're a colder person. You like it colder?
No, I don't want, I mean,
or cooler, I should say.
Yeah. If we could freeze the temperature at like 68.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
Done.
Yeah.
For the most part, San Diego.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
We could just do that, then we'd all be much happier. So, good luck to all the folks up at The Rock. Have a good time. Don't hurt each other. Go win a football game against Troy, and that's not going to be the easiest thing in the world. Troy likes to throw it around. So, App, it's not a team that is based on the run.
No.
But they can run. Troy's got weapons. Got a good quarterback and a bunch of wide receivers, and the running back out of the backfield catches the ball a bunch.
And then go eat at Daniel Boone Inn afterward.
You can go to Daniel Boone. There's a lot of spots.
Yeah.
A lot of spots. Just go hang out at all the hemp places on King Street. All right, let's start this. And if you're interested, we're going to talk football today with Trey Wingo. We're going to talk whatever it is we decide to talk about, probably football and other things, with Luke DeCock of the News and Observer. And our roundtable in hour number three is Jeremy Green from the Sportsocracy in Asheville and ACC columnist and somebody I go way back with, Brett Friedlander. Brett was actually present for one of the strangest nights of my life. That he probably remembers enough details where I need to keep it quiet. All right, let's get right to what we're going to talk about. The Chiefs did Chiefs things. Or was it the other way around? Because I think that it was the other way around. The Chargers ran more plays. They gained more yards. They had the ball for more time. They committed fewer penalties. They had a 17-7 lead in the third quarter. Kansas City won.
Go figure.
Right. It is sports, right? Kansas City won largely because of interceptions thrown, interceptions dropped, and interceptions otherwise nullified by, we'll just say, specious penalties. I mean, no joke. Here is the deciding play of the game with Kansas City and San Diego. I said I would do it every day. Kansas yep. City and the Chargers tied at 17 and LA driving deep in Kansas City territory. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they don't are familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta.
Off at the 1 yard line. That is Watson out in front. Sneed to protect him as well. All the way for the touchdown.
It was unfortunate. We'll hear from Ryan Clark in a little bit about what happened on the play, but it was right after Kansas City had kicked a short field goal. They had a fourth and goal from the basically the 1 yard line or something like that, or is it fourth and one? Whatever, it's fourth and goal or fourth and one. My memory is gone because I've been up since four. But Andy Reid, curiously enough, chose to kick the field goal just to tie the game. And it paid off even after a stupid penalty on a touchback. It was a touchback, and the Chiefs committed a stupid unsportsmanlike conduct penalty after, and the Chargers started at the 40 and then just marched down the field. And then the pick six changed the entire game. Let me just say this about what we saw last night and what I heard this morning, people talking about it. I actually heard on, I think it was ESPN Radio, the host and his co-host gushing about how great Patrick Mahomes was. If the Chargers were better at footballing, this might have gone down as one of Mahomes' worst games.
Yeah.
I mean, he almost threw four interceptions.
Right.
He probably should have thrown three, maybe more, to be honest. But the Chargers, they couldn't catch the ball, or did catch the ball, bad penalty, I thought bad call. I kind of thought they had an interception on one that was not overturned. They ruled it incomplete, I believe, and they didn't overturn that. Kind of looked like hand was under the ball to me. But I think Patrick Mahomes just got lucky. Lucky last night. All right, let's get a couple of other things in before we go back and examine that game a little bit more, and we'll talk about that game with Trey Wingo at the bottom of the hour. For the optimistic Panthers fans out there, this is the one you have to have. I mean, if you are of the mind that the playoffs are still possible, A, you can't start 0-2 if you're the Panthers. But through 2 weeks against a backup quarterback and Daniel Jones, which probably is the same thing, you have to be able to get at least one of them. And I'll just play a math game here. What are the chances of this Panthers team going 10-5 in their last 15 games? Because you're going to have to get to 10 wins to make the playoffs. I don't think a wild card is going to be 9-8.
No.
Really, I really don't. I mean, could it be 9-8? Okay. But what are the chances of this Panthers team going 9-6? I don't think great. I don't. So, I think this is the one you have to have. And the schedule also gets a little bit more difficult. So, winning in East Rutherford, New Jersey is a must. Giants are going to try and run it. I don't think they're going to really trust Daniel Jones, whose best plays, I think, are made with his legs as well. But the real question for me is not about what the Giants will do. It's about, will the Panthers be able to block? Because Christian McCaffrey can't be the third best running back on the field. He was the third best running back on the field. Not because of him. But against Cleveland, he was the third best running back on the field because both of Cleveland's running backs were more effective than Christian McCaffrey. So it has to, we need to see McCaffrey be a major player in this game. Otherwise, Carolina's got no chance. All right, a great test for NC State tomorrow. Texas Tech isn't a top 25 team, but they are from a Power 5 league. And that's not a situation the Wolfpack have generally thrived in. Just isn't. Non-conference games against Power 5 opponents during the Dave Doran era have not gone well. We remember the Mississippi State disaster a year ago, right? Head down there, feeling good, get squashed. But it's worse than that. It's worse than the no-show in Starkville. State is 3-7. In non-conference games against Power 5 opponents under Dave Doran. 3-7. Now, half of those games are in bowls. If that matters or not, I don't know. But half of them are in bowls. During the regular season, the Wolfpack is 1-4, and they've lost their last four. The win was the home win over Notre Dame in, was it Michael? Was it Matthew? The remnants of the hurricane.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Matthew, I think.
Matthew,
so, yeah.
When Brian Kelly insisted on throwing it 35 times in torrential rain.
Terrible.
Yeah, brilliant coaching. Like, that is what they did. He was not going to be deterred even. Well, that was also not a good Notre Dame team. They were 4-8 that year.
No.
So, my question to State is, what are you going to be this season?
Oftentimes.
If you are the team that invited a loss at ECU this week, you probably lose to TCU, to TTU. You'll lose to Texas Tech if you are the team that begged East Carolina to beat them in week one. I don't think they're that team. I think they're better than that team. But this is not going to be easy because they have to overcome a little bit of their own checkered history. And checkered is probably giving them the benefit of the doubt. So, good luck to the Wolfpack. We'll hear from Dave Doran in just a second. Let me flip it back up to the top, where we had Chiefs and Chargers. So, Patrick Mahomes definitely got away with some bad throws. So, let's deal with that first because, look, one game isn't going to change anybody's opinion of Patrick Mahomes. He is still super talented. I don't know if he's the best quarterback in the NFL, but when you have this conversation, Mahomes is in it. I think Josh Allen is in it.
Yeah.
I know Aaron Rodgers is in it.
Yes.
So Mahomes is one of those particulars in the equation. But he's also smart enough to recognize when he wasn't great or got away with something. And here he is watching the interception that got overturned.
I mean, you never know. I mean, I think that's that. You saw the ball hit the ground. You saw a little bit of movement. But they have been a little bit more lenient on letting the ball move, and if the guy gets his hands underneath it. So you hope that they it's called an overturn, obviously. But on the play, they got me. I mean, they were all game. They were playing one coverage, and out of nowhere, they threw me with a shell coverage with a corner who had been playing, just kind of getting out of there the whole time. He dropped down to play cover two, and so it got me. I mean, I don't throw it just straight to guys most times. And so, but got lucky enough that it bounced around, hit the ground, and I was able to get another chance at it. I'm sure PFF will have me a low grade for that, but I'll keep it rolling.
Yeah, he's going to get a low grade for that. He threw a bunch of interceptable balls. A couple of years ago, I saw this stat today. A couple of years ago, Patrick Mahomes threw 19 passes that should have been intercepted that weren't.
Wow.
That's a lot.
It is.
Last year, that number was 10. Now, that doesn't mean he only threw 10. He threw more interceptions last year. So he wasn't, he was lucky a couple of years ago, not as lucky this year. He's already thrown 4 interceptable balls this year, in this past game, and none of them were intercepted.
Wow.
So.
Lucky.
Yes. Let's go back quickly to the other interception, the one that changed the game. Remember, it's 17-17. Chargers are going in to retake the lead that they had at one point, 17-7. Then it was 17-14. Ryan Clark from ESPN does not blame Justin Herbert.
Gerald Everett had a great 2 weeks to start his Los Angeles Charger career, but this play is going to haunt him, and it should. You have to give all the effort you can possibly muster in that situation to at least break the football up and do what you're supposed to do. You would like the coaches to be able to get him out, but strategically, it was smarter to keep him on the field, and that's on Gerald Everett to find a way to make a play.
So, he did want to come out of the game. You could tell he was asking for a sub.
Please.
Right. He's, please take me out. And they were like, nope, we ain't taking you out.
Nope.
Now, I'm not saying that he gave up on the play. I don't know what happened. It did look like there was really just miscommunication and that he kind of flinched one way and the ball was thrown the other way and then you're screwed. And then it goes the other way, and that is that. Justin Herbert tried to make the tackle, but quarterbacks are not supposed to make tackles. So, unfortunate for the San Diego Chargers. I had this thought. Maybe the Chargers aren't supposed to win.
Okay.
I mean, just it's possible.
True.
That the Chargers are not supposed to win. Maybe they are the NC State of the NFL.
There you go.
I mean, I'm not trying. It's just what we're here.
Yeah.
And we know how Wolfpack fans feel about their own fate. They were probably the best team in the NFL. And I think this is the year Phillip Rivers tears his ACL.
Yes.
And still plays the playoff game. But right. He's obviously not the same. LaDainian Tomlinson gets hurt at just the wrong time. You're talking about a Hall of Fame killer running back, and he's on the sidelines in his helmet with the dark visor, just standing there the entire game. They're 14-2. Marty Schottenheimer's the coach. I think it was Norv Turner and Cam Cameron. Was it Norv Turner and Cam Cameron, or Wade Phillips and Cam Cameron were the two coordinators? And they lose the division round. They lose both coordinators, and then a 14-2 head coach gets fired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
There you go.
They're a catastrophe.
Right.
I don't know. So maybe the Chargers aren't supposed to win. It is something I have thought about. All right, to NC State. So Texas Tech is more of a throwing team than a running team. But they can run it effectively, especially if you load up to stop them through the air. Similar to what App's challenge is with Troy this week, where Troy is going to try and throw it a ton, you can't forget that both of these squads have capable running backs. So Dave Doran has to prepare for a couple of things. One, you can't ignore the run, and I believe Texas Tech ran the ball effectively late against Houston in their overtime win. And the other thing is, just because Texas Tech ain't supposed to be good doesn't mean they don't have dudes, and they are a Power 5 school from Texas, and Dave Doran understands that.
Oftentimes, some of the other schools in Texas maybe not get the notoriety of Texas and Texas A&M, and I think those kids play the chip on their shoulder there because of that. So I have a lot of respect for Texas Tech, always have. You know, 10 starters back on defense that are all older kids. Like I mentioned, they're very long. They've recruited long guys. Their defensive front has got really tall defensive ends. Our linebackers are very athletic. They run well. Their corners are long. And Coach Tim DeRuiter is a veteran D coordinator. You know, hired him from Oregon. He's been a head coach. Brings a lot of different looks and pressures, and does a lot of, you know, man-to-man coverage. Offensively, they're up-tempo. They're spread, you know, typical formations that you see. But they got very long, rangy outside receivers. Their quarterback can run and has a great arm. You know, you'll see him throw deep out routes to the field from the far hash, and does it with ease, and can make plays on his feet. Won the game with his feet on a scramble last week. It's a very good team. Coming to town, a team that is being mentioned in the top 25. They play hard. They got good players, good coaches. I'm excited, you know, about the matchup. And
sounds to me like Texas Tech is going to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
That's the way it sounded. But that really is the way NC State needs to approach it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's your season, because it isn't, but it's one that if Dave Doran needs to get. His team, it's not just Dave Doran. They need to get this win. All right, one more college football thing before we take our first break. And again, Trey Wingo coming up at the bottom of the hour. So, Nick Saban, I heard this Nick Saban clip, and to me it is from the file. What the heck are you talking about? Coaches have agendas. Remember, Alabama barely eked out a win over Texas last weekend. They trailed twice in the fourth quarter, including by 2 with a minute 29 left. And I'm not sure last week was about Texas or it was about Alabama. Texas might be better than we thought. In any case, when things don't appear to be going as well, or maybe all the time, with Nick Saban, he likes to use the media to get points across to his team. So my question is, listen to the question, listen to Nick Saban's answer, and tell me if he met the criteria.
How hard is it to gauge offensive growth when the quality of opponent can vary, you know, with Utah State, Texas, and now ULM this week?
Well, but, you know, that's your opinion on quality of opponent, all right? It's not mine. All right? I respect all the people that we play, and I respect winning and what you have to do to win. All right, so, and every player should not be focused on who they're playing against relative to their motivation, but every player should want to be the best player they can be. So why would it matter whether we're playing Texas or playing somebody else? That's how you get good. That's how you develop the right habits. That's how you're consistent. You know, I've told you guys more than once, when I was in the NFL, I watched players, I didn't know who they were playing against. I was just evaluating them. So that means when we play a team that's not as good as somebody else, you don't play as good. So you let the opponent determine how you play. You let the score determine how you play. You determine where you're playing. All right, that determines how you play. So when you get evaluated, what's somebody think? Oh, this guy plays pretty good at home. I don't think we'll draft him. Does that make sense?
All right, let's just stop it right there. Did Nick Saban answer the question?
I still haven't heard the answer.
No, he didn't answer the question. Because the question was only, how hard is it to gauge offensive growth when the quality of opponent varies? And I'm sorry, Nick. I get you don't want to decide whether or not Utah State is better or worse than Texas. But we all know the difference. And we're certainly going to know the difference against Louisiana Monroe this week. So stop peeing on our shoes and telling us it's raining. Just answer the question. You can say, we're smart enough to look beyond those types of things that you guys focus on. We can see growth even if the opponent or the individual matchup isn't as challenging. We can see growth.
Done.
But this is what he likes to do. He likes to lecture you and hammer you. How dare you look down on whomever.
Gosh.
I love Nick Saban, and he's just like Bill Belichick. They're identical, except one guy's monotone and the other guy isn't. Yeah. There's no difference between the two. No difference.
One guy likes to cut his sleeves off of his sweatshirt. Right. Maybe the other one doesn't.
Nick would probably do that. Yeah. Although Nick is a golf shirt guy.
Oh, okay.
So, and he wears a lot of like vests, zip up, sleeveless vests.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, Bill would have just gone, we're on to Monroe. We are into match week two in the NFL. I'm so excited. It was a heck of a game last night. It was interesting. I thought the better team, really. I don't know. I think the better team lost, but doesn't matter. You make enough mistakes or you don't take advantage of opportunities and you lose. Trey Wingo, who is taking advantage of every opportunity life presents itself. He has more credits than I can get to, so we'll let Trey sprinkle them in. Half Forgotten History is probably my favorite, but he does a thousand things, and he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. How are you, sir?
Oh, good to hear from you, Adam. And on behalf of my good friends at Pro Football Network, Spotify Live, the 33rd team, and being the chief trends officer, brand ambassador for Caesar Sportsbook, it is always good to chat with you.
It's like a NASCAR show. All right. Thank you very much, Trey. It was funny. I was listening to a national radio show on my drive in, and they were praising Patrick Mahomes. And look, Patrick Mahomes is always worthy of praise. But didn't he get kind of lucky last night?
You know, listen, there's a lot of ways I can answer that. Every quarterback gets lucky. Like, people always, like, for example, I've had people say, oh, you know, because the stat is this, okay? In the Super Bowl era, there are only three quarterbacks that have started their season with at least seven touchdown passes, no interceptions, and completing 70% of their throws. They are Patrick Mahomes this year, Lamar Jackson in 2019 when he won the league MVP, and Patrick Mahomes in 2019 when he took the team to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl MVP. And people say, well, this interception was dropped, that interception was dropped. Yeah. People drop interceptions. That's why they're not wide receivers. That's why they're cornerbacks and linebackers. I mean, yeah. I saw Willie Gay drop an interception from Justin Herbert that was in his hands last night.
No question.
Yes, it happens. It happens.
Okay. And then enough about that, Trey. Mahomes is special. Look, we know if he's not the best quarterback in the league, it's Josh Allen or it's Aaron Rodgers still.
He is the best quarterback in the league.
If I ask who's the best, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, listen, everybody can like who they want.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm going to take the guy that has thrown for 50 touchdown passes in a season, that has been a league MVP, that has won a Super Bowl, that has taken his team to back-to-back Super Bowls, has been a Super Bowl MVP, has the most passing yards and touchdown passes in the history of the NFL through his first four seasons as a starter, and whose team has hosted the championship game four straight years. Something that Joe Montana's Niners never did. Something that Terry Bradshaw's Steelers never did. Something that Troy Aikman's Cowboys never did. And something that Tom Brady's Patriots never did.
That's a very good... You're full of stats today.
Let's go!
Trey Wingo is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. All right, let me move to the Panthers and the Giants. Obviously, the Giants pick up a very big win against the Tennessee Titans on the road. Panthers had it, lost it. I don't know, it was a strange game against the Browns. It was nothing for a quarter, and then all of a sudden the Browns showed up, and then the Panthers came on late. To me, this game comes down to can Carolina block? Because they really didn't for large stretches of the game against the Browns. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, that was a really bad loss for the Panthers. Like, it was a bad loss. I'm sorry. You have Baker Mayfield, who's extra motivated, against a team that kicked him away, and they don't have the quarterback they kicked him away for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You got to win that game. Like, I love Matt. Matt Rhule is a friend of mine.
Yep.
I do not make any bones about that. I want him to do well. That was a really bad loss. It was a bad loss to a team that I don't think, quite frankly, is going to be very good in Cleveland, especially without, you know, Deshaun Watson for the next 10 games. So they got to beat the Giants. Like, they have to beat the Giants. It's that simple.
Yeah, and if they don't beat the Giants, I mean, I thought going into this season, I thought the ceiling was 8 wins. So, and you had to win at least one of these two. And I think I even thought, well, they could win both of these. And now you're staring at 0-2. And I'm like, I don't know what to make of the Giants, because I think I told you this before, you know, as we were chatting before the show even started, that I'm not a huge fan of the Tennessee Titans this year. But that's still a very good win, because the Titans play a certain way, and for the Giants to win on the road, that's pretty good. Let me move on to another game, because I want to run through some things here before I need you to make a best bet for me. So let's go Bucks Saints. I have been very impressed with the Saints as they build towards this season. I like Jameis Winston. For about three quarters, Jameis Winston looked like Jameis Winston before the LASIK surgery, but he looked great. In the fourth quarter, look, I don't think the Falcons are all that, but that's a good win, and I think the Saints are pretty good.
Yeah, and I think the Bucs are struggling right now, and their injury report, by the way, for this game is, you know, biblical in how long it is.
Yeah.
A couple of things here. The Saints have never lost to the Bucs and Tom Brady in the regular season. They got him in that wild card slime playoff game on Nickelodeon a couple of years ago. But nobody has ever done that to Tom Brady before. In all of his years in New England, no team ever swept him. And the Saints have done it 2 years in a row. When Tom Brady's teams hold the opposition to 13 points or less, he has one loss. It was when the Saints went to Tampa Bay last year and shut them out 9-0. Whatever the secret sauce is to beat Tom Brady, the Saints have it. And this game is at the Caesars Superdome. I think that this is a game that that streak might continue, because offensively the Bucs are just not there yet.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're there. Their offensive line has been decimated by injuries. Look, we're going to go and talk about the Cowboys here in a second, but I think the Buccaneers felt like Dallas couldn't score on them. That's the one thing Tampa does have, I think, is a really good defense, and maybe that'll pose some problems. But I like the Saints team. If Jameis can keep it between the ditches, I think they're pretty good. All right, what do the Cowboys do without Dak Prescott? They say for 4 weeks, but it's got to be closer to 8 than it is to 4. What do they do? Can they hang on and still be a factor in the second half?
No. I mean, what the Cowboys should do is pray. I had massive issues with the Cowboys going into this season, Adam. You know, just from a team construct perspective, you know, they lose Amari Cooper because they can't afford to keep him because of a horrible contract for a declining running back in Ezekiel Elliott. They put a franchise tag on Dalton Schultz, who had a nice year, but they're paying him $11 million a year. I'm sorry, Dalton Schultz is not an $11 million a year player. You lose Tyron Smith. You have a rookie going out there to start at left tackle who's been a guard all preseason. And he's there to hold the fort until a 40-year-old who was retired in Jason Peters can't come out and play left tackle and hopefully maintain for the rest of the season. The Cowboys are in a world of hurt because of their mismanagement of the salary cap. And they last had back-to-back 10-win seasons in the 90s. Okay? History's not with them. No team has repeated as NFC East champ in 17 seasons, and I don't see the Dallas Cowboys doing it without Dak for at least 4 weeks. They couldn't score with Dak. How are they going to score without a consistent?
I'm 100% on board with that. I actually like the Eagles in that division from the start anyway.
Absolutely.
I love that offense, and part of the reason I didn't like Tennessee this year was because they traded A.J. Brown to Philly, because that's what Tennessee needs is a big go-to wide receiver, and that's what Jalen Hurts has. I know I didn't put it on the list of topics, but what do you think about the Eagles? And I love that game with the Vikings the last game of the night on Monday?
Well, the crazy thing about it is, you know, it's the Justin Jefferson revenge game. Like, Justin Jefferson was still on the board in the 2020 draft when the Eagles instead decided to pick wide receiver Jalen Reagor out of TCU. And just for fun, Reagor is now a member of the Minnesota Vikings coming in to take on Philadelphia. So, listen, I love Philadelphia, but I think Minnesota might be the class of the NFC this year. They have everything. And Kirk Cousins, even though he's not Josh Allen, he's not Justin Herbert, he's not Patrick Mahomes, he's been very consistent. Mm-hmm. And if Dalvin Cook can stay healthy and they can rush the ball really well, I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Yeah, see, I didn't think Green Bay was that bad the other day. I thought Green Bay was good. I thought their wide receivers dropped the ball and maybe ran some wrong routes. But I thought Minnesota was really, really impressive. And I agree. I think their offense could be absolutely dynamite, and their defense is more than adequate. And a first-year head coach out of that, where all the head coaches seem to come from, some variation of, right, Kyle Shanahan, all those guys. It's all part of that tree. Is that still part of the Bill Walsh coaching tree?
Yeah, well, listen, it's really the Kyle Shanahan tree.
Right.
I mean, the Mike Shanahan tree now. Kyle, Kevin, Staley, McVay, Mike McDaniel. I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy. And why Mike Shanahan isn't in the Hall of Fame, I have no good answer for.
He has his own coaching tree. It is awesome. I love the fact that the Bill Walsh coaching tree has his own Wikipedia entry. All right, final thing before we let Trey Wingo go, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Wingos with a Z on the end. Since you are a brand ambassador for Caesars, give me your best bet of the weekend.
Well, it's kind of an interesting one because I like both sides of this one, so you're going to have to choose which one you like.
Okay.
Right? The Bills started the week as a 10-point favorite over Tennessee, right?
Right.
Mike Vrabel, since he took over, is an NFL best 6-2 straight up when he's getting 6 points or more.
Wow.
So factor that in. However, the Buffalo Bills have won 19 of their last 26 games by double digits. Since 1970, only two other teams can make that claim. The greatest show on turf, Rams, and the Dolphins of the early 70s, sandwiched around their perfect season of 1972.
You have so many stats, it's crazy.
There's nothing else in my head but useless football information.
This is not useless. This is very useful. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills minus the 10.
Well, not only that, but let me throw one thing else out there. In three of their last four games, the Bills in the regular season, the Bills haven't had to punt. We've been keeping track of punting stats since 1939. That has never happened before.
All right, over, under. How many stats did Trey Wingo give us in this interview? All of them. Over, under. I'll take the over. Trey, I thank you.
Over the over.
Thank you so much, man. I'll talk to you very soon. You can see him everywhere. Half Forgotten History is just a great idea, and I appreciate your time, sir.
Jake Plummer episode dropped yesterday. It's great. Check it out. He's a mushroom farmer.
I mean, who doesn't love good... never mind. I'll just stop right there. Thanks. I appreciate it, Trey.
All right, buddy. Be good.
You got it. So funny. Like, did he have a stat in every game?
He did. It seemed like it.
I mean, look, I know I prep like 6 hours for every show. I don't give a stat on every game.
No.
I have a stat on like 2 games. He has a stat on every game.
It's a gift.
It's when... I don't know. It's just absolutely awesome. We do a mailbag segment every week, so this is a week we should do that.
You're talking to me? Then who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
All right, it's very simple. You can tweet to us. You can tweet to me, @AGoldFan. You can tweet to Victoria, at V_2_Victoria.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dennis's Twitter, which was inaccurate.
Right.
At the fan rookie. He's been here. I don't know how many years he's been here.
Yeah.
He's no longer a rookie. He's, gosh, he's almost got tenure.
Right.
So, but yeah, V_2_
Victoria. Yes.
That's what,
Victoria.
Yes.
Yes.
The
V to the Victoria.
Unbelievable. all right. So you can tweet to us and then maybe you'll get, I did earlier in the week. I got a lot of people say, hey, love Victoria on the show.
Oh,
and
well, thank
like,
you, people.
I'm in agreement. All right, let's do this. So Monday night, while the Denver Broncos were experiencing coaching malpractice at the hands of their own head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, I put out there on Twitter, just to be kind of snarky and witty, that Nathaniel Hawthorne would have coached a better game than Nathaniel Hackett. Nathaniel Hawthorne was an author, short story writer, in the early-ish 1800s. Scarlet Letter, his most famous work. Whatever you think of that, you think of that. The quality of his work probably doesn't matter, but it apparently did to Josh.
Oh, boy.
The same man that wrote The Scarlet Letter, one of the worst books ever written and a complete waste of time, LOL. Like, I really wasn't suggesting that Nathaniel Hawthorne would have been a better coach than Nathaniel Hackett. It was more just, what is Nathaniel Hackett doing? I could have picked any Nathaniel.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Nathaniel Boone.
Sure. I could anybody. I don't even know that many Nathaniels. I know some Nats.
Yeah.
Right? Actually, Nathaniel Phillips is a very, very mediocre central defender for Liverpool who no longer plays. Anyway, I could have used him. But nobody knows who that is, and we all know who Nathaniel Hawthorne is. It didn't matter if he's a good author or not, frankly. I mean, Scarlet Letter. I mean, whether you like the message or not, it's pretty, you know.
It's well known.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, we read it in school.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no O. Henry.
No.
Right? O. Henry's legit. All right. Next one. From Kyle. Remember when we were talking about, I think it was Halftime Entertainment, maybe it was Tuesday?
Yes.
Fortnite, right? And I thought that Fortnite is where we got flossing. Kyle, love the show. Hate when people discredit dance move origins, though. Fortnite stole most of the dances from people. Flossing equals Backpack Kid. I still don't know what that is.
Okay,
but
I do remember Backpack Kid. He was going to town at a game. I do remember that. But see,
He didn't get it from Backpack Kid. Didn't get it from Fortnite.
I don't know.
Right?
What came first, chicken or the egg? I have no idea.
That is a very interesting dilemma.
Right?
Because theoretically, the chicken has to come from the egg.
Exactly.
But who lays the egg?
Right.
Does the egg just appear on its own?
Magic?
Yeah. It's the magic egg. All right. But none of these were serious, by the way, as you could tell. Because I saved just something selfishly for last. So I forget who it was. I think it might have been like 70s sports. There's a nostalgic Twitter feed that just spits out cool stuff from the 70s. So they tweeted out a picture of a whole bunch of powder blue Major League Baseball uniforms. Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox, Toronto Blue Jays, Philadelphia Phillies, St. Louis Cardinals, two different versions of the Milwaukee Brewers, two different versions of the Kansas City Royals, the Expos, two different versions of the Rangers, although one of them was gray. the Minnesota Twins and the Atlanta Braves, all powder blue uniforms, and basically just asked, which is your favorite? And frankly, there's only one correct answer. And the correct answer is the Montreal Expos. That is still, it's the best jersey, it's the best hat in baseball history. I don't know why, I just think it is. I don't make the rules. My top three, and I put this out, Expos 1, the script Royals 2, when George Brett came out of the dugout screaming at Tim McClellan, the umpire, after his pine tar home run was wiped off the board with tobacco coming out of his face. He was wearing that Royals uniform. And I think it's either the Blue Jays or the Twins, because I remember Rod Carew wearing that uniform, tied for third. But Expos 1, frankly, all the others are no better than third place. That's my answer.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997, with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.